Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Been sneezing? God bless you. Salute or salute. Lots of coughing, itching, eyes, maybe even trouble breathing lately. You are not alone. We are in the thick of fall allergy season. And according to experts like Kenneth Mendez, who's the president and chief executive of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, it's a particularly intense season. And to add insult to injury, these allergy symptoms can be really hard to tell apart from COVID. Well, grab a box of tissues, have a seat, because for this edition of Be Well, we are diving into seasonal allergies. We're joined by Dr. Frederick Litterl, who's an allergist and immunology specialist at Boston Medical Center and a clinical associate professor of medicine at Boston University, and Sandy Hurwicz, a nationally certified school nurse who has worked for Boston's public schools for 2 decades. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you
very much.
Are you both hearing me okay in your headphones?
Yes,
all right.
Good.
Excellent. So, Frederick, I'm going to start with you. We realized as we were talking this morning, we know that many people have allergies, but how does an allergy actually work? What is an allergy?
So that's a great question. Allergies start in people that are susceptible to getting allergies because it's a part of the immune system that has a function, but it's kind of dysregulated. So, of course, nobody ever had any harm from breathing in some ragweed or tree pollen or dust mites, for example. But our immune system in people that have allergies, like myself and many other people, about 20% of the American population have it. It's sort of a dysregulated immune response that sees something that should normally be harmless as harmful. And that generates a very particular type of immune response that leads to allergy symptoms.
Okay, so two things. Your body's like, uh-oh, that's bad. Protect.
And it shouldn't be doing that, but it is.
Okay, and I have to tell you, I'm amazed that it's only 20%. It seems like everybody has allergies.
That's true. I think a lot of that is because they're so prevalent. I mean, 20% or 25% of the population having a disorder is pretty high overall, if you think about it. But actually, those rates, you'll be interested to know, are increasing in the last 20, 30 years, and the cause for that isn't completely clear. But the rate of allergies, if you looked in 1980 in national health surveys to environmental allergens, like we're talking about today, have actually increased from around 8 to 10% prevalence to much more, which has led to this so-called allergy epidemic that we've heard about.
Yeah, that's more than double. That is striking. Sandy Hurwicz, I'll turn to you. This is the other core question that came up for us. Can people grow into and out of allergies throughout their lives?
I have seen allergies start in young children, you know, preschool age. And I myself had allergies as a child, grew out of them. And now in my older grown-up years, I'm feeling more seasonal allergy symptoms. And okay. I think that it goes with how your immune system and the doctor would be able to speak better to that, that when you're very young, your immune system isn't as strong. And when you get older, your immune system response wanes a little bit. So, you know, the key years that you're feeling the maximum, you know, over response from your immune system are, you know, I would say middle childhood through, you know, early middle adulthood.
So Frederick, when I was a kid, 50 allergies at least, asthma, eczema, got better as I went along. My husband, impervious when he was younger, about 10 years ago, terrible allergies and asthma develops, right? So what's going on there?
So allergies in general, which are a risk factor not just for hay fever symptoms, but also for allergic asthma, are more prevalent in kids. And as Sandy mentioned, many people can outgrow their allergies and asthma. But we also see pretty significant rates of people who can develop adult-onset allergies, even though they weren't affected as a kid. One of that can be sort of bad luck with sort of changes in the environment and the immune system, maybe moving from one region of the country to the other. In our patient population at Boston Medical Center, which is a more underserved population, we see a lot of immigrants. And there are people who come from an area of the world like South and Central America where they are exposed to certain types of aeroallergens when they're younger. But then they come to the United States, and when they come to this region, it may take 2 or 3 years for their immune system to develop that dysregulated immune response and get sort of crescendo allergy symptoms as adults, yes.
So, Sandy, back to you. We know about spring allergies. We're in fall allergies. A lot of people don't know they're not the same thing. You're not guaranteed if you have spring allergies to also have fall allergies. What's the difference and what's happening for people who are having allergies now?
Well, the main culprits in the fall are ragweed pollen. So it is a pollen.
Where does it come from?
It comes from a plant that has sort of, it's green. You'll see it sometimes along the side of highways, green ragged leaves and sort of greenish looking flowers. Mm-hmm. And when those flowers release their pollen, which is usually, you know, sort of mid, late August around here, and it's active until the first frost generally, and for us, usually around November. So that is one culprit, and that gives what people refer to as hay fever symptoms, the runny nose, the itchy eyes, like all of the sort of allergy symptoms, nasal congestion, if not just the runny, thin mucus that comes out of the nose, sometimes even fatigue. You can be sneezing. You can have hives on the skin.
Yeah, yeah. And the fatigue surprises me, and yeah. I noticed, Frederick, that you nodded at that. And again, that surprises me. And you know, for those of you out there thinking, okay, but how is that not COVID? We're going to get to that in just a minute. I was surprised by the fatigue.
Yeah, so fatigue, I think that can happen when people have allergies and they're just, you know, worn out. Sandy and I were talking a little bit before the segment, and particularly in children, kids who have really bad allergies, and have to concentrate in school all the time can be quite tired. They may not sleep as well because their nose is stuffed, may not be able to pay attention in school so much. And so fatigue, I think, is sort of just if somebody has really uncontrolled allergies and
it just wears you out.
And I think with medication and treatment, we can make that better. But it can wear you out. But to your point, and you'll get to it later, that's different than the fatigue that we might have in differentiating allergies from COVID.
So, Sandy, staying with mm-hmm. kids and the fatigue for just a minute, you've been in the Boston Public Schools for a very long time.
Yeah.
Do you see other things that disproportionately present in kids with fall allergies or seasonal allergies than we might see elsewhere, whether it's because of their bodies or because school puts different demands on them, et cetera?
Definitely the issue with concentration in class, you know, if your eyes are watering, and I've seen kids coming in that just are tearing drips, drips, drips down their cheeks because their eyes are so irritated and sometimes puffy and swollen. Their head feels full. They feel like, they're having what might be described as a sinus headache just in the front, across the forehead, across the cheeks. And that just leads them to want to put their head down and they don't want to pay attention. Or they come to the nurse, can I lie down? I have a headache, you know, that type of thing. The coughing, I see that a lot, and sometimes it's of concern to teachers because they're not sure if Johnny, who has asthma as well, is having an asthma episode or just what's going on. And the cough is often from post-nasal drip, but that, you know, from the excess mucus in the nose and so on. That's going to take me off your question a little bit, just to mention that the allergies, to reinforce what was already said, that they can exacerbate, can cause a flare-up of atopic dermatitis, eczema, rashes, and asthma episodes.
So you therefore, can see these treating, other manifestations.
Yeah, treating the allergies is really key because that can be something that kind of sets off a worsening of those other two conditions.
And by implication, if you treat the allergy in a child early, you might be able to head off an asthma attack or some eczema on the skin, hives, et cetera.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're speaking with Sandy Hurwicz, who's a registered nurse and nationally certified nurse for the Boston Public Schools, and Frederick Little, who's an allergist and immunology specialist at Boston Medical Center. Okay, I do want to get in now because we've talked about so many things, coughing and fatigue and your head feels full and you're tired and maybe you're having trouble breathing. Frederick, I've had COVID and I've had times before I had COVID where I thought my allergies might be COVID. Now, believe me, once I had COVID, I do not get the things confused anymore. But for the lucky people who maybe are allergy sufferers who haven't had COVID, how do we know the difference other than a test?
I can't tell you how many home antigen test my wife has burned through having a little bit of a scratchy throat. And in fact, she doesn't have very bad allergies, but has a little bit of them. So there are a lot of overlap in symptoms, especially with the newer strains that we're seeing, where a lot of nasal congestions, it feels a bit more like a cold, scratchy throat, a little bit of cough, not so much involvement of the eyes, but there can be a lot of overlap, especially as we come into the season. The things that differentiate COVID from allergies are, first of all, fever is an unusual complication of people having regular seasonal allergies, even if they're significantly affected by that.
So you rarely would see a fever in allergies.
You wouldn't expect a fever in allergies. Now, people who have very severe uncontrolled allergies and have sinusitis and, you know, much more advanced issues with allergies can have a fever if they have an infection that goes along with it, but very uncommon. So I think the learning point is that fever, along with some allergy-suspected symptoms, definitely warrants getting a COVID test. And the other thing is, as we were talking about the fatigue before, I also had COVID in April, and I wasn't necessarily short of breath. I didn't have COVID pneumonia, but I was able to go from my quarantine cell in one part of the house down to go outdoors where it was warm enough with a jacket to be outside, and I just felt exhausted. Mm-hmm. So the degree of fatigue and just feeling run down, kind of like what you might feel with a bad case of the flu, does differentiate seasonal allergies from COVID. So fever, a sense of fatigue that's out of proportion to just being a little bit run down would be the triggers that would say, okay, let's be careful, you know, stay away from older people, other people who might get infected and get a COVID test at home or with your healthcare provider.
Now, we know from years, actually, now of doing Ask the Doctors on this show, Sandy, that we're not providing tailored medical care to individuals on this show, but general advice to families about how to mitigate, slow down, catch allergies early, et cetera. What are some of the advice that you give to parents and families?
Well, I'd like to add on to what Dr. Little said about just how to differentiate between allergy and, let's say, cold symptoms or another type of infection that's going on. Itchy eyes, I think that you mentioned, Doctor, are not usually seen with a cold mm-hmm. or an infection of some other sort, like pneumonia or whatever. And, of course, fever is not usually seen with allergies. And the other thing that's interesting to me is that with a cold, symptoms will appear sometimes one at a time. Like maybe you'll get a sore throat for a day and a half, and that'll progress to sneezing. And then later on, the cough comes into play. Whereas allergy symptoms tend to appear kind of occur all at the same
Boom.
Time. Boom. Or, you know, yeah. you get one and within a few hours, there you are. So in terms of getting back to your question, what can we do to mitigate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, the best thing is to avoid exposure to the allergen to begin with. So if you want to stay away from ragweed pollen, and the other culprit I didn't mention are molds in the fall. So when you have the wet leaves gathering, mold can build up in that. And, you know, just walking through the woods can be a trigger, you know, and the fun things like raking leaves with the kids and diving into the pile of leaves and that kind of thing. Not a good thing for people that are allergy sufferers at this time of year. So you want to avoid some of that outdoor stuff. When you are outside, I found, at least with the kids that I've worked with, if they're wearing eyeglasses or can put on sunglasses, that can prevent some of the pollen from eye contact and causing the inflammation there and the irritation. Also, when you come in from outdoors, the end of the day or after playing, a shower, shampoo the hair, never wear your outdoor clothes to bed. You know, take off the outdoor clothes as soon as you get in the house, put them aside, and just keep in mind that you're in bed, kids, 8 to 10 hours a day, and you don't want to have...
So keep that space clean.
Absolutely. In the bedroom, you don't want to have the pollen circulating, and you want to not have pollen and mold spores on your hair when you go to bed, because you'll be just breathing in and all
sitting
that
duck. Line. All right. Sandy Hurwicz is a Boston Public School nurse. Frederick Little is an allergist and immunology specialist at Boston Medical Center and a clinical associate professor of medicine at Boston University. This has been our Be Well segment. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you
Our
for
pleasure.
Having us.